What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
At the end of it all, you know, I'm realizing, like, when I step on that mat, I've practiced and I've done everything that I could up to this moment. I'm as prepared as I'll ever be to wrestle this match. So at this point, I'm in the best condition that I'll ever be in. So the only thing that's going to hold me back is fear. So I might as well let that fear go and wrestle my match or do my best. And that's something that also for me transitions outside of wrestling.
That is Derek Price, a Goldwater scholar studying mechanical engineering at Kennesaw State University in Georgia. Hello, I'm your host, Venkatraman. Derek's high schools changed quite frequently. Despite that, he loved school, enjoyed science and math, and engaged in activities like robotics. About halfway through high school, Derek realized that he would need scholarships to go to college. He then mapped out a plan to get his aggregate GPA up from 3.3 to 3.7 to qualify for the Zell Miller Scholarship that would pay for his college tuition. He then worked hard to meet that GPA goal and qualified for the scholarship. Derek joins us on our podcast to share his undergraduate college journey, his undergraduate research, winning the Goldwater Scholarship, majoring in engineering, and his advice for high schoolers. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives, five highlights from the podcast.
I came to college in pursuit of a career in engineering. Not exactly sure what was exactly involved in the field. I chose to do mechanical engineering. And since then, I've kept an open mind to experiences. I've met various people, kept an open mind to new experiences. And I learned about this thing called research, which is the main reason why I'm here today. In terms of, you know, say like the academics, for example, I kept the same pace. I got straight A's. I might've had like one B my freshman year. Mm-hmm. But I kept the same pace in terms of staying focused and make sure I do well in all my classes. The transition in terms of, say, life in general, it's a difference when you're going out from being a dependent to independent or living on your own on a college campus. Honestly, I kind of always craved, again, that independence. So I had certain skills that I had to learn, like, say, for example, cooking, you know. Actually, I had no idea what research was when I first came into school. Mm-hmm. I literally figured out because they were talking about it in a group chat for one of my classes. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just asked, like, hey, what are you guys talking about? What is research? What are these research projects you guys are referring to? And they told me that there was this program called the First Year Scholar Program at KSU. And I decided to check it out. I'm in the Honors College at KSU. Mm-hmm. I believe they sent out an email about the Goldwater Scholarship, saying it was a scholarship, you know, for undergraduate researchers. And I myself am an undergraduate researcher. So I was like, you know, I need money. I need to find more scholarships. This could be a very good opportunity for me. So I reached out to our director of international and national scholarships on campus, Dr. Miles. Be open-minded and try new experiences, even if it's something you've never done before. With my example, it was research. I've never done that before, but I went ahead and I tried it and it worked out. I highly encourage you to step outside your comfort zone and to do new things you've never done before.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For my newsletter, visit almamatters.substack.com. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire podcast with Derek. So without further ado, here is Derek Price.
If you're ready, we can jump right in.
Yes, please. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so maybe the best place to start is an overview of your college experience so far, and then we can dive into various topics.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So for me, college has been nothing but a learning experience, as it should be. Mm-hmm. Since I came to college, I wanted to do engineering because I always felt that I was good at math and science, and I like solving puzzles. I like solving problems. Mm-hmm. So I came to college in pursuit of a career in engineering, not exactly sure what was exactly involved in the field. I chose to do mechanical engineering. And since then, I've kept an open mind to experiences. I've met various people, kept an open mind to new experiences. And I learned about this thing called research, which is the main reason why I'm here today. Mm-hmm. And then in my freshman year, I got involved in research. And then it was research in soft robotics. Essentially, I've met a lot of people through that one experience. And through there, that really carried on into the rest of my college experience and everything else that I've ever done. Started with that first conversation of what is research. So since then, I've partaken in three research projects. So four. Been a part of four research projects. I have two published conference papers. And I've been a part of many other different activities, organizations, and different projects on top of that as well.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about what you did in high school. What kind of interest did you have, and what kind of person you were in high school?
Oh, yes, of course, high school. So actually in high school, I went to quite a few different high schools throughout my life. I wasn't really in a stable situation all the time, so I would move schools at least with like once a year. So I actually been to three different high schools. But going into high school, I kind of got into football back in middle school in like rec league. And so I was always athletic, always had a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. So coming into high school, I started out doing football. In middle school, I also figured out that I liked robotics because I had a technology class, and I got experience with robotics, vector robotics, with that first thing with, in the technology class in middle school. So when I got to high school, I also joined the vector robotics team in my high school there, Newton High School. Mm-hmm. And I always, the kind of person I always was, I've always been the kind of person that's not a, I'm kind of like antisocial. Usually I wouldn't really like be a person to go outgoing. I wouldn't be outgoing to talk to new people. But I had a small group of friends that I would kind of hang around. I had a lot of acquaintances. Like I would, I might hang around different groups of people depending on where I was at. I feel like I could kind of hang around anybody and everybody. Whether it's the jocks or the popular kids, or whether it's the kids who are very smart or kids that are just into anime or something like that. I mean, I feel like I could kind of get along with everyone. So I kind of did. But for the most part, I usually had a small, tight-knit group, and I stayed to myself other than that. And that was pretty much me, athletic, involved, and stayed to myself, but kind of able to be cool with everyone. But that was new in high school, I'd say. Things started to change as I moved to high school. So my sophomore year, I went to Stratford High School. Mm-hmm. I'm only for about half a semester. And that was a different experience because I didn't really know anybody there. You know, switching high schools, like in the middle, it's kind of like you have to start over, you have to meet new people again. Which it was great because I met one person, and through them, I met other people. So I had like one really good friend when I was at that school, and I had a little friend group that we were all in. And then I had to switch schools once again, and I went to Stonemont High School. That's actually where I graduated from. Mm-hmm. And Stonemont High School was really where my life kind of really took a big change. At that point in time, I kind of realized the situation that I was in, you know, I kind of wanted to have control over it. All throughout my life, I kind of, me not being 18, me not being an adult, there's only so much I could do. So whoever I'm living with at the time, I'm kind of subject to whoever, to however they live or whatever situation they're in. And a lot of times I wouldn't be in the best situations. Especially when I was living with my mom, oftentimes we wouldn't be in the best situations. We wouldn't have all the necessary resources that we need. There've been days where we might not even have a place to sleep. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like, you know, not being, having to kind of make your way through. Then when I got to junior high school, I realized that, you know, the only way that a difference is going to be made in my life is if I make that difference. It's up to me to define my life and take control over it. So at that point in time, I got focused. I realized, okay, I need to figure out how exactly I'm going to plan out the rest of high school and then college. So I sat down, I tried to figure out, okay, what kind of scholarships can I get? Because my family doesn't have much money at all. So I have to make sure I pay for college out of, you know, my own will. So I found out there's an in-state scholarship in Georgia called the Hope Scholarship. There's one above that as well. It's also in state. It's like a step up from Hope. It's the Zelda Scholarship. Essentially, that pays for all of your tuition. So at the time when I was in my junior year, I was kind of calculating my grades, and I realized that I had a 3.3 GPA, but to get the Zelda Scholarship, you needed a 3.7.
Yeah.
So what I did was I tried to see how many classes do I have left. The thing about Zell Miller and Hope, you have to, it's only calculating your core classes that you take. So I had to try to see, all right, how many core classes can I take to get my GPA from a 3.3 to a 3.7 to get the Zell Miller Scholarship. The thing is, at this point in time, it's very late. I only have one more year left. There's probably like four more classes to take. So on a regular situation, it's not really possible to get your GPA up to that high because it's already so late. But I was determined to still get that scholarship. So what I did was I figured out, okay, if I take dual enrollment classes and I make sure the core classes, and I take, say, seven of them, and my high school classes, I take six core classes. All that combined, I calculated that would be just enough. If I aced everything, that would be enough to get me to a 3.7 to get that scholarship. So I set the plan up for me to get that scholarship to make sure I wouldn't have to pay a dime once I got to an in-state school in Georgia.
All right.
So at that point, after that, it's kind of just, I have a plan. I just need to have the will to actually follow through. So after that, I made sure I practiced good study habits. I made sure I would set aside time to study for tests and to do homework, and I wouldn't miss a beat. I had a very determined will to make sure that I aced every single class that I got into, and I would do whatever it takes. So going through that, you know, I took three dual enrollment classes over the summer. I took two extra dual enrollment classes each semester of high school on top of three high school classes each semester. And in the end, I got all A's. You know, I've never done that ever before, but I was very determined at my last 2 years of high school. And I would get my GPA up to a 3.8. So that was me. That's kind of where I took a turn. That set me on really the path to going to college and, like, you know, really be focused. It all took the change of my junior year of high school. And ever since then, I've been off from there. But besides hard work and, you know, just focusing on school and, you know, making a better life, I had a point in high school as well. I actually switched from doing football to wrestling, which is something I never thought I'd do. I never thought I'd be wrestling. I was one of the people that thought that wrestling was like a weird sport, like I'm wrestling and other people, other boys, and I'm wearing a tight singlet. Like, I never thought I'd do anything like that. But at the new high school I went to, I made a friend and he wrestled. He was like one of the only friends I had at the school at the time. So I was like, you know, if he does it, you know, I might as well try it out. And I remember I tried it out and I sucked at it. I was horrible. But I met a lot of good people in the room. I liked the coach. So I thought, you know, I'll keep coming back, keep trying and keep practicing. And I decided I'll join the team. So wrestling actually was probably one of the highlights of my whole high school career. That honestly was an amazing experience for me. I feel like I learned and grown so much as a person, learned so much about myself through wrestling. I made so many great relationships through wrestling and meeting new people. And that's probably like the, again, it's the highlight of all of my high school career. So my first year was my junior year doing wrestling. I actually became the team captain. The coach liked my work ethic. And I was very, you know, close with all the members on the team. And then, you see, my first year, actually, I always had these high goals. I set high standards for myself. And even though it was only my first year, I really wanted to win it all. I wanted to try to go and be a state champion in my first year. That's honestly, you know, that's unrealistic. People wrestle their whole lives from, you know, elementary school, middle school, all the way to their senior year. And they, some don't even make it to the place at state. Some never make it to the state finals. It's kind of hard to say that that's going to be a reality for me, but that's what I wanted. So I dove headfirst into it. I mean, I practice hard. I go home, practice my moves. I kind of like do this thing called like shadow wrestle. Yeah, like, you know, shadow boxing.
Yeah,
I do like a shadow wrestling thing. I used to go home and do that. I'd watch wrestling. I watch like college matches and look up videos how to do certain techniques. Like, I was researching as much as I could. I mean, because I got into it, I actually liked it. So I learned as much as I could. And I used to remember, I used to always bring new moves to the wrestling room at practice. I love the reaction I would get out of the coaching people, because they look at me when I do moves. They'd be like, "Where'd you learn that from?" I'm like, "Oh my gosh, it's crazy." And I was like, "Hey, I don't know, you know, just learn new things, you know, do my research." So I actually, being that invested in my first year, I got pretty far. Like, I almost made it to state. You have the area tournament, the sectionals tournament, and then you have the state tournament. I made it as far as the sectionals tournament, and I fell out. Somebody beat me. He pulled a certain move. I was beating him at first, but he pulled a move and then pinned me. I was very mad at the time. I was very frustrated because I felt like I almost had it, and he kind of stopped me from getting it. But, you know, it was a fair match. He won however he won. He deserved that. But I didn't forget about that loss. So I went into the off season, and then the next year, still wrestling, still doing tournaments outside of school, and just practicing and getting better. And I reached one tournament where I actually had a shift in my mindset about wrestling, and really it's a shift in my mindset about everything in life. I realized that there's no reason to approach anything you do in life with fear. Fear is only going to inhibit you from being the best that you can be.
Yeah.
So I had one match where somebody told me he was like a state runner-up or something like that. Or actually, after the match, they told me that. But I went into the match kind of thinking I'm okay. I'm an okay wrestler. You know, I'm not a state place or anything. There are a lot of state places here. So I was wrestling with people with kind of the mindset like I knew they might be good, but I'm going to still do my best. And I wrestled the next person with some anxiety because I knew he was like a good wrestler or something like that. And I wrestled and I beat him by like 6 points, which is pretty good in a match. And after I beat him, somebody told me, "Hey, you know, he was like a state runner-up, you know." And this being my first year and I beat a state runner-up, I feel like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Like, I just beat like somebody who was like crazy good. But like, how did that even happen? But I realized also that I didn't wrestle the best I could. I was kind of wrestling scared. And I kind of missed out on certain moves. I wasn't really doing as well as I could have. And then I realized, like, it doesn't matter, you know. Even though, like, he's a state runner and he's so great, if I didn't wrestle scared and I didn't have fear, I could have wrestled even better. I probably would have beaten worse. Mm-hmm. So at the end of it all, you know, I'm realizing, like, when I step on that mat, I've practiced and I've done everything that I could up to this moment. I'm as prepared as I'll ever be to wrestle this match. So at this point, I'm in the best condition that I'll ever be in. So the only thing that's going to hold me back is fear. So I might as well let that fear go and wrestle my match or do my best. And that's something that also, for me, transitions outside of wrestling. It transitions into everything I do. Whether I go into an interview, I know, whether it's like an engineering interview, I already know, you know, I have the skills, I've done all these projects. There's no reason for me to have to worry. It's just about having a conversation. I'm as prepared as I'll ever be. I just need to go and do it. I approach everything like that in life. But that was just kind of like a turning point in my wrestling career.
I think you had a lot of success and lots of aha moments. So that's pretty unusual. And so with all that, you are in college. So how was that transition?
I'll say this. My experience in high school made it a lot easier for me to transition to the college, even though college was a brand new experience. Personally, it's something I kind of always was waiting for. Like, I always waited till I turned 18 and I would leave the house and would go out on my own to pursue my goals in life, to, you know, plan life for myself. Like, I had that mindset since I was, and I'll say a freshman in high school, really. So I was ready to kind of transition into college, even though there was a lot that I had to learn that I didn't really know. I was glad that I had certain family members that I could definitely call on for help. You know, I'd call on my mother or my aunties, uncles, grandmas, you know, and they would help me whenever I needed. But I had like that determined mindset since that junior year of high school. And it kind of just, I just kept that going into college. And it kind of allowed for me to be prepared for every challenge that was going to face me. You know, I would be ready to try to learn something new and to figure out how to do these things. But in terms of, you know, say like the academics, for example, I kept the same pace. I got straight A's. I might have had like one B my freshman year. But I kept the same pace in terms of staying focused and make sure I do well in all my classes. The transition in terms of, say, life in general, it's a difference when you're going out from being independent to independent or living on your own on a college campus. Honestly, I kind of always craved, again, that independence. So I had certain skills that I had to learn, like, say, for example, cooking. You know, before I left, I made sure I learned how to cook certain dishes for my mother. And everything else in terms of making sure that, you know, I would wake myself up and do all these different things. Honestly, like, that's a lot of stuff I kind of already did in high school. For the most part, like, I had to know how to take care of myself, you know, just growing up in general. Like, I kind of already had to be independent, like, my life. That's just kind of like how it's had to be for me to do anything, really, to make sure that I'm on the right track. So in terms of being out on my own, you know, it wasn't too much of a transition. In terms of, I have to get used to making sure you're watching out for yourself. I kind of somewhat been used to that already. And I kind of couldn't wait to live life on my own and kind of go out and chase after my goals.
How were your classmates and your peers? How did you find the community there?
The community is actually amazing. Like, everyone's so open on the college campus. I'll say this, definitely during COVID, it was probably like a lot of people like stayed to themselves because like social distancing and things like that. So it was a bit more like some social awkwardness, you know, walking like in the campus, people trying to stay away from each other. You don't have as many conversations. But the peers that I got to meet through my classes, you know, through us all going through the same classes, struggling with the same problems, you know, there's a kind of, you kind of build a relationship through going through the same things. So it was easy to kind of connect with other people in the classroom. And since we all go through the same things, you know, we build a good relationship and help each other out wherever we can, study together, you know, have the study groups. If it wasn't for my peers, you know, college just wouldn't be as great as it is. I have great peers, many great friends. So it's like I love my peers. And even going through college up to now, and even though I'm in my third year now, going into my fourth year, I get to help my other peers through all the experiences I have, everything I learned in like research and doing projects. I work with like freshmen and sophomores, and I kind of act as like a peer mentor to them as well. So I get to kind of explain to them how certain things work, how research works, how projects work, how to kind of get their start into like in the industry, and kind of like learn how to connect with the professors and like how to carry themselves in college. It's always great because I used to be in that position of being a freshman and not being sure what to
sure.
do. Yeah, so sure. It's always great, you know, for me to know I can also help somebody with me now being an upperclassman. So peers are great. I mean, they're a lot of experience in college.
Now, you mentioned research a few times, so tell us how you got into undergraduate research. You said you got into it in your freshman year. So how did that happen?
Good question. Yeah, so actually I had no idea what research was when I first came into school. Mm-hmm. I literally figured out because they were talking about it in a group chat for one of my classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just asked like, hey, what are you guys talking about? What is research? What are these research projects you guys are referring to? And they told me that there was this program called the First Year Scholar Program at KSU.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to check it out. And I saw there was a project related to robotics. And I kind of had experience with robotics from high school a little bit.
Sure.
So I had experience with like, you know, doing a little machining, coding. So I was like, you know, it sounds something like I'm very interested in doing. Let me try it out. So I applied and I ended up getting it. So I got to meet with the professor. I got to meet with the rest of the research team. And from there, it started out with me having to kind of learn. There was a lot of jargon and a lot of terminology I didn't know at first, you know, going mm-hmm. into research.
Yeah.
I was very lost, but I had to find a way. And it just starts by coming into the room and asking questions. So, I mean, I knew I didn't know much, but I knew that I wanted to learn. So every time a word might have been thrown out or a topic might have been being discussed, I would not hesitate to ask somebody like, hey, what does this mean? What are you guys talking about? Can you break this down for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I just learned each and every day that I came enough to where I could also make my own contributions.
Mm-hmm.
So my first project actually was on soft robotics, which is essentially like instead of making like a rigid mechanism, which would take, you know, maybe like multiple parts, you might need some screws, some pins, mm-hmm. some hinges, rigid body parts. You make a mechanism out of one soft material that's 3D printed. So our goal in that project was to make a new and improved gripper. So there was a previous research project that had a two-finger gripper.
Mm-hmm.
And my job was essentially to make a new gripper that would be better than the previous one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd just been in a class that taught you how to use CAD or computer-aided design.
Yeah.
Using SOLIDWORKS. So I learned how to, I was learning how to use that. But then I got to also apply it outside of that class into the research project by designing, you know, a new gripper.
Mm-hmm.
So through that, I kind of started making my contributions by making like sketches and coming up with concept ideas and talking to, you know, my peers, my research peers about it. Me getting feedback and kind of making these changes. And eventually I got to go from the drawing to actually doing it on CAD. And then once I had it finished on CAD and I got an okay from everybody else, I would start prototyping and 3D printing parts and then testing it. And then just along the way, just like trying to improve, constantly improve and reiterate. So research, I love the fact that I was also able to work with my peers and my professors, like, because they act as like mentors to me and they teach me along the way. Because it's very scary at first, you know, you don't really know much at all. But mm-hmm. you have to just keep coming into the room and then try to learn as much as you can. And
right.
through that, I got to continue to learn, help, and eventually I made a significant contribution on that project as I was the sole designer of that gripper that I was working on.
Mm-hmm.
So that project ended up being finished that semester. I went and got it presented it at a symposium, and then the paper also got published in ASME's IMECI conference.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like my first research project. And ever since then, I was kind of hooked on it because I love the fact that I was able to like apply myself to actually solve challenges and problems. I would come up with like unique solutions to these unique problems, especially through research. Research is always something new. It's never the same thing. You always have to try to find a new approach to solve a problem, or you're learning new things. And that's what I love about research is there's new problems. You have to kind of sometimes get creative and you really have to apply yourself to, you know, solve these problems. So through that experience, I just never stopped. I just kind of kept doing research projects for that, challenging myself, solving these problems. You know, it's great when you like kind of struggle with something, you're trying to figure out how to solve it or figure out the answer. It takes a while, but then once you finally figure it out, it's like, oh yeah, the eureka moment. It's like, yes, finally I figured it out. So many moments I've had like that, especially through that first project, being able to have a solution, design it, prototype it, test it, and it works. It's an amazing feeling. I've had many moments like that, and that's what's kept me going when it comes to research. Is I keep wanting to find those moments, those solutions, and those eureka moments. So since then, I just kept going.
So tell me how you got into the whole Goldwater Scholarship. Why did you apply?
So I believe it was because I'm in the Honors College at KSU. Mm-hmm. I believe they sent out an email about the Goldwater Scholarship, saying it was a scholarship, you know, for undergraduate researchers. And I myself am an undergraduate researcher. So I was like, you know, I need money. I need to find more scholarships. This could be a very good opportunity for me. So I reached out to our director of international and national scholarships on campus, Dr. Miles. God bless Dr. Miles. I thank her so much for everything she's done because she was key to me even getting the scholarship by introducing me to it and explaining and walking me through the whole process. But it was because of that email and me being able to meet her, Dr. Miles, that I got introduced to the scholarship and I was able to apply and then start to kind of think about my experiences in research and then try to figure out like which direction do I want to go moving forward, and being able to spill out everything that I had that I wanted to do when it comes to research into the scholarship.
So now in the application itself, what did you talk about a research you wanted to do, or did you want to just continue doing research? What were you pitching, I guess?
So I was pretty much talking about the research that I've done. And then kind of talking about how I gained all of these skills and all this experience through doing this research and these activities. So I would transition into using this to go into a research career after I graduated, and in the hopes that I would get a PhD in aerospace engineering and then go on to become like a research and development engineer at a national laboratory. So it was about really pulling from experiences I have, why I want to do research in the first place, why do I keep doing it, and what do I hope to do moving forward? How do I plan to get there as well? So it's about, you know, really understanding why you do it in the first place and what are your plans, and actually going in depth on how you plan to continue to pursue research. That was the angle that I was pretty much taking to it.
Why do you think you got the scholarship? What was it in the application you think that made a difference?
I think being able to, you know, very well articulate why I do it and for my own personal reasons, how I got into research, what have I learned from it, being able to show that I understand what I've gained and what I could do with the skills that I've gained from it. But also just kind of expressing like who I am as a person, of why I do research. So for me, I kind of always been a kind of person that's been I love math and I'm always intrigued by science. Those have been my top two subjects ever growing up. So for those two, like those are the main two things that I've always been good at. And then I've done like projects in high school, like science fair projects. And then I've had this like this keen interest in like actually solving problems. So when it came to doing research, like these reasons and these passions that I have for science and math kind of just goes in the research as a whole. And then just knowing that I could, you know, apply myself to a project and further the knowledge of today by doing research projects and bringing new knowledge to the table, that just, that overall just inspires me to continue doing research. And then also going up, talking about like how experiences that I've had as an undergraduate, for example, there's a program called the SHARE program, which pretty much it takes underrepresented and minority students and puts them in, you know, these research projects working with these graduate students that are doing research, working along with them and doing their own projects to support them. And it also teaches you so much about a graduate application process when you're applying to schools, you know, the life of being a researcher. And it just introduces you to so much in the lab and the life outside of lab and what it's like to actually be a graduate student, you know, and you also get to do your research and present it at the end. And overall, like that experience and all, that was really key for me to really realize that this is what I want to do, because it was the closest thing I got to being a graduate student, working along with graduate student and actually doing research to support their projects. And I love that experience. And because of that, really, it's the main reason I choose to continue on this path, because it prepared me, just everything that you learn from it prepares you to go into graduate school with it, applying and taking the exams and being able to actually, you know, articulate yourself in your writing and in your presenting. Sure. It just prepares you for graduate school and being a researcher.
Got the scholarship. What does it mean to you? How is it making a difference?
It means so much to me. I'm very grateful to have the scholarship. It really just, for me, it's a great confirmation that the path that I'm on is one that that others see, that others believe in. So for me to be able to get the scholarship has been amazing for my confidence in the going this path. It's a great reassurance that, you know, that others support me in going in this direction. And it also just shows that the work that I've done with other professors is meaningful.
Yeah.
And for that, it's been very key to my confidence and reassurance that I'm going in the right direction.
Now, is it making a difference externally? I mean, are you finding that, you know, either in terms of opportunities or acceptance, things are happening faster?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Oh, definitely. See, just being a Goldwater scholar, being in a community of, you know, undergraduate researchers, it's filled with a community of successful and great minds all together. So just applying to, you know, like for scholarships or for RU programs and graduate schools, it's kind of having that title there. There's an outlook, there's a positive outlook towards being a Goldwater Scholar, because so many great-minded people are Goldwater Scholars. So it definitely makes an impact in terms of, one, just getting noticed and applications in general. It's very positive in terms of opportunities that can come to you, and just being in a community of great minds and being able to be connected in this community is a great opportunity within itself.
Let's move forward. I kind of want to touch on something that you mentioned a few times. You said you were always good in math and sciences. You chose engineering. You're doing mechanical engineering. You said you wanted to do a PhD in aerospace engineering. Where or how did this interest and passion for engineering come from? I mean, what do you think is the source of that or the origins? When did that happen?
So it started out originally as an interest. I could really see myself, you know, before I came to college, I could easily see myself doing engineering, especially for me doing like vex robotics, having a hands-on experience of actually, you know, building things and coding. For that reason, I kind of could see myself going into engineering. And I was always good at math, very intrigued by theory and science. So it kind of made sense to see myself going to mechanical engineering, but I wouldn't say it was a great passion just yet. It didn't become a passion until I started having those eureka moments from the engineering projects that I'd be working on. That's when I really started to realize, like, okay, I really love doing this. This is amazing. So I was challenging at first, but then when you overcome the challenges from working on these projects, it's like, okay, I figured it out. I got it. I want to keep doing this. I want to keep growing as an engineer, as a researcher. Because of that and the experiences that I have, it's reconfirmed my passion to go into engineering. And then specifically with aerospace, honestly, I always was interested with the universe and how the universe works.
Yeah.
I've always been interested with the science of how things fly. It just amazes me that, you know, we started out as animals on the ground and now we can like take over the sky.
Right.
So I kind of always just liked aerospace in general. So that was an interest for me. But then actually going into the projects and working on them, you know, I had one project that I just got done with. I was on a, I was the team captain for our aerial robotics competition team. And for the first time, I actually got to build a plane and then get to see it fly.
Wow.
And let me tell you, that is, it was an amazing, awe-awing experience. Just seeing the plane take off and for the first time after putting so many hours into researching and designing and building it, it's so satisfying, it's so amazing. It was a moment of awe for me, really. And that's just like one of the great moments that I get that makes, it just makes me want to do this more. So especially when it comes to the passion and I want to do engineering in general and aerospace engineering, again, it's the experiences. It's me trying it out first and then seeing how I like it. And I must say, I love it.
You fell into research kind of by accident, right? You discovered in your freshman year. And then it has really charted a very unique course for you in college. Now, tell me how undergraduate research, the actual act of doing it, has shaped your education over the last 3+ years. How has it changed from just the classroom instruction?
Oh, yes, that's a great question. So research is really just like solving new problems, but hands-on applying exactly what you learned in the classroom. It takes it to another step, another level. So in terms of like being in the classes, I find myself very often tying the theories I would learn in the classes to actually solving problems in a research project. So it just it allows you to actually learn like even more than what you would in the classroom, because not only do you have to like memorize and just learn from a teacher in the classroom, but you also get to actually apply it. And then when you solve these problems, you struggle with them, it challenges you. We actually remember like how you solve the problem. It's just, it sticks. It sticks more when you solve problems with the stuff that you learn, because you'll remember like, okay, I had this one issue and I remember that I learned this one thing in class and I used this to solve this problem. It makes it a lot more effective in terms of learning when you actually apply the stuff that you learn in class. So it just, it's a strong support for the theory you learn in class.
Okay, so Derek, I'm gonna now ask you to put on your advisory hat and talk to high schoolers out there about what you would tell them about going to college and about research.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So to all my high schoolers out there, I want to say be open-minded and try new experiences. even if it's something you've never done before. With my example, it was research. I never done that before, but I went ahead and I tried it and it worked out. I highly encourage you to step outside your comfort zone and to do new things you've never done before. Explore. This is what college is for. It's about finding yourself. Don't hesitate. Don't hold yourself back. Try something new, even if you're uncomfortable with it. Maybe if you are a bit scared, you're fearful, you have anxiety, do it. It's worth it. Just making that decision to go and try trying something new. You grow so much from it. You can learn so much from these new experiences. Even when it comes to like saying, talking to somebody that you never spoke to before, you know, just stepping outside the comfort zone, making connections, building relationships, and trying out new experiences. Do it all. Do everything. Do as much as you can. Do as much as what interests you. Just try new things and explore. I promise you, you will benefit all the more from college if you step outside your comfort zone and try new things.
So, Derek, we are going to start winding down. Now, before I let you go, I'd like you to share some memory or anecdote or vignette or something that you would like to tell people about your college experience so far.
Oh, okay. So for me, I guess this will go back into my thing with stepping outside your comfort zone. Me, for the first time, when I presented, I did a presentation for the first time on my first research project. I never had to do a stand-up presentation before. I have, but I've always been very fearful of it. When I did my first stand-up presentation in front of people, it was something that I learned how to like to prepare for and everything. It was the first time I was able to stand up and present, because I probably prepared for it like days ahead of time and I actually did well. I wasn't scared when I went up. I was confident. The first time that I really stood up in a presentation on a research project in college, it was a great moment for me, especially when I got done and to hear everyone, you know, celebrate your research and then to talk to people about it. I stepped outside my comfort zone to do a presentation, which is something I've never been comfortable with. And then once it was over, I realized, hey, this isn't that bad. So doing my first presentation was probably like a highlight moment for me as an undergraduate.
No, that's, you know, somebody told me that less than 15% of the college students ever do a presentation before they graduate. So, you know, just by that, you're automatically in an elite crowd of people. So I was surprised and I didn't quite expect that was so low, but you know, the opportunities just don't exist. So the other thing about undergraduate research and doing good research like this is you get these opportunities, which in itself gives you better opportunities for the future. So fantastic. So Derek, it's an absolutely fascinating conversation. I think you are on to some wonderful things. You're an amazing young person, lots in front of you, and I wish you all the luck and all the best, and definitely want to chat again in the future. But for right now, take care, be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. You as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast with Derek Price about his undergraduate journey at Kennesaw State University. Derek is one who, once he sets his mind to something, works hard to make it happen. We saw it in high school when he decided to get a scholarship to attend college, when he took up wrestling and competed for the state championship. In college, he jumped into research, designing products, 3D printing of parts, and testing the gripper. Winning the Goldwater Scholarship was a validation of his research prowess and a boost to his confidence and direction. I hope you are motivated by Derek's story and you challenge yourself, explore research, and work hard to apply your talents. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College matters.
Alma matters.